endless men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
I've got so much on my mind again. I mean, I just don't hardly know where to start. And the bad thing about that is if I try to cover it all, I won't be able to devote much time to all the things that I want to say. But I do want to talk for just a minute on about this supposed great creation debate that took place last weekend. I know that many of you either heard about it or maybe even watched it, but I've got a few things to discuss myself, and then I'm going to bring Jeff Thomas on live so he can share with us his latest adventure with the enemies of Christ. And if you still do not believe that that is an accurate statement, then please stick around to listen to what Jeff has to say. In regards to the, quote, debate, when Matthew first told me about it and told me who was going to be debating, I mean, my first response to him was that it was going to be an absolute clown show. And it literally took about 2 minutes into this, quote, debate where that was confirmed to be true, not because it was prophecy. I wasn't prophesying anything, but because it was a no-brainer. The, quote, debate was between two charismaniac clowns. And friends, if saying that word that way is offensive, then all I can tell you is I hope it's a wake-up call, because I've tried the gentle approach and the dripping honey catch flies bit, and that's just not working very well when it comes to this charismaniac movement. In my opinion, it is the number one antichrist religion in the world today. Now, I said that to someone not long ago, and they disagreed immediately. And of course, that's perfectly fine to disagree on something like that. I mean, his opinion was that the Catholic Church was the number one antichrist religion. And there's no doubt that a great argument could be made there. But in the end, I guess you could really say there's quite a few of them that are tied for first place. I mean, just throw a dart in a darkened room, and wherever it would fall, I mean, an argument could be made to put that religion on the top of the Antichrist throne. But right now, it seems to me that the charismaniac leaders are the biggest liars, the biggest fraudsters, hucksters in the religion game today. And that is just my opinion. If you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, just go to YouTube and type in deliverance preachers or prosperity preachers or demon slayers. That's the big catchphrase going on right now. These are the Kenneth Copelands, the Benny Hinn's, the Catherine, and I'll just say her name as Crook, Catherine Crook. I mean, Joel Osteen is a kindergartner compared to these nut jobs. We've got a new listener from Canada, and she's only been a believer for about 3 years, I think she told me, something like that. But she's got more Bible knowledge already in her pinky finger than these clowns have in their whole bodies. And one of the things that she asked me is if I have any messages on the charismaniac movement, because apparently things in her life are being touched by that right now. But I told her I didn't think that I had specifically addressed that issue in a series, but I have on many occasions discussed their false beliefs to a certain extent, mainly in relation to their end times lies and their worship of the U.S. government and a few other things. But she's asked me on several occasions, And as I've thought about it, one of the things that came to mind was that the whole thing, from their fake healings to their promises of raising the dead to their regrowing missing toes on lesbians, I mean, the whole movement is, it's just so stupid. I mean, it's just hard to devote a lot of time to it. But at some point, I mean, maybe we'll get into it. But right now, it just seems like there are so many more important things to address. I mean, like things that truly searching people are looking for answers to, as opposed to these idiots jumping up and down and running across the stage, you know, acting like a moron. You know, I saw a short clip. Now, and I'm not recommending R.C. Sproul. I mean, he was a 501c3 government preacher. But I saw a short clip of him talking about the charismaniacs and how they jump around and dance and fall over each other and all the stupid things that they do. And he just asked the question. He said, can you imagine Moses standing before the holiness of God and then screaming and jumping around and running around like a chicken with his head cut off? I mean, stand before a holy God and act like an idiot. Well, I don't think so. Now, I'll see if I can find that clip and try to put it in the notes. I mean, it was actually pretty good, even though it was from a 501c3 government preacher. But at the start of this supposed creation slash flat earth debate, quote unquote, the first charismaniac, and I mean, it was between two charismaniacs that were debating. But the first one gets up there and he starts talking about how when he, quote, got saved, that God took him up into heaven and showed him the third heaven, and he saw God. Well, he's a liar, absolute, total liar. I mean, that was a dream that he had as a result of bad anchovies or mushrooms on a pizza that he ate late at night. He didn't see God, because just like so many other things that they try to brain dirty their people with, if it contradicts the word of God, then throw it out. It isn't true. I don't care what you think your eyes saw or what you think your ears heard. If it contradicts the word of God, it did not happen. No man hath seen the Father is what the word of God says. And God didn't just start revealing himself to the charismaniacs in the last 100 years. You know, they scream. All they talk about is end times churchology, friends. And that is not of God. They are the most pro-Israeli people in the world. They're more pro-Israeli than the Israelis themselves. I mean, it's just crazy insanity. And they're some of the most pro-men's little g governments in the world. The other charismaniac in the, quote, debate took between $1 and $2 million from the COVID fraud and then had the gall to make national news for screaming and ranting and raving about people wearing masks to his, quote, church. But he took $2 million of COVID money. I mean, it's a total clown show. And anyway, the first charismaniac gets up there and he tells people that God spoke to him and told him that the earth was flat. It wasn't, you know, I read this in the Bible. It wasn't, this is what I believe the Bible teaches. It started out with, God told me this. Well, he's a liar, an absolute, total liar. And I wouldn't be surprised one little bit if the other charismaniac has told people, quote, God told me that the earth was a spinning ball. So God tells one of them one thing and tells the other the opposite? That is just ridiculous. These two clowns made a mockery of the Bible, of God, his son, and it's just so sad that so many people actually equate God and the Bible and Jesus Christ with these clowns. Now, before someone says that I misrepresented Dean Odle, the flat earth, quote, preacher from Alabama, his position now is that he can use the Bible to prove his flat earth belief. But it didn't start out that way. He started out by saying that God told him this. God spoke to him with an audible voice. And maybe he took him up to heaven again and revealed all this to him. I don't know. But it started out just like everything else from these charismaniacs with God telling him something. Well, I've been a Christian for more than 55 years now. I've studied the Word. I've on many occasions begged and pleaded with God to make himself more real to me, excuse me, than ever. And I can tell you, not once, not one time in 55 years have I heard the audible voice of God. I've never heard that small voice inside of you as if it was the voice of God speaking and telling me this or that. But I'll tell you, I've been moved like a bomb at the things that I have read from the Word of God, and I believe in the power of the Word of God, but God does not speak to anyone in this new covenant world. And to say such things, that God spoke to me, or God visited me in a dream, or I have a direct pipeline to heaven and God has taken me there, those are lies, and they make a liar of the Word of God. Now, with all of that said, if you didn't see this, quote, debate, and you want to have a little Flip Wilson with Geraldine and the Devil comedy hour, well, you can go to YouTube and you can find the debate easily. I mean, the charismaniac who did present some Bible passages, I mean, those passages are worth looking at, absolutely. Not because this charismaniac liar had anything to do with it, but simply because any time the Word of God, the Bible, is spoken, read, displayed on the video screen, or what have you, and by whoever does it, there is a potential for life-changing power, not because of the individual, but because of the power of the Word of God. The quote, flat earth preacher, okay, he presented some Bible, not as much as he should have. In fact, you might say that he appealed to his God of the world every bit as much as he appealed to the God of heaven. And in that regard, to me, he certainly exposed himself in the manner that we all knew about already. And then the, quote, globe earth charismaniac, well, he exposed himself as a total moron that we already knew that he was. This was the charismaniac that brags about tithing to Israel. I'm talking Israeli, Middle East. I think he said he gives like $5,000 a week to the Israelis. And he also says that, you know, Benny Hinn is a hero. A sort of mentor of his. It's amazing. How in this world can people fall for this? I mean, it's truly an incredible phenomenon. But then again, I can't imagine how people fall for half the things they fall for, like the idea that mere men have the power to make their own definitions of good and evil, right and wrong, and then force other people at gunpoint, if necessary. People that do not believe that men have the power to define good and evil, that even without your consent, that one man can force another to obey his definitions of good and evil, right and wrong. To me, that's one of the craziest concepts that men have ever come up with. I want you to take your Bible for just a minute, and I want you to turn again to 2 Kings chapter 17. I'm going to read this from the KJV this morning, beginning in verse 1. Now, I want us to look at this passage, not in a careless, and I don't mean to use that word in a particularly bad way. I just mean I want us to take extra care in understanding that we are reading the recorded Word of God. This is a historical record as to how God dealt with his people hundreds of years ago, knowing that the scriptures tell us that they were written for our learning and for our admonition. This is the mind of God revealed through his word. This is the will of God for how he wants his people to live. And whether the world gets it or not, this is the way it is. If we call ourselves the followers of God, applying the principles found in this chapter to our lives today is what it means to be a follower of God. Hey, listen to this with me. Better yet, read along with me if you can. This is 2 Kings 17, beginning in verse 1. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. In the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah and in Habor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God. All right, we have to stop here for just a minute. This is as clear as anything ever was in our Bibles, verse 7. The children of Israel sinned against the Lord their God. So we look at this as people who claim to be the followers of God. We claim to be believers in this very same God, the God of the children of Israel. And today, there's no argument as to who are the children of Israel. At this point, in this passage of Scripture, as it applies to today, which is the only thing that can matter, it is totally wrong to say that this passage of Scripture only applies to a specific group of people at a specific time and place, as in hundreds, thousands of years ago, and only applied to those people of that specific time and place, and therefore has no meaning for us today. We cannot allow someone to stake that claim. Now listen here. Now. They can claim that for themselves all they want to. They have that ability just like we do. They can read the Word of God and say it doesn't apply to them, and that's between them and God. And likewise, we can read the exact same words of God and say it does apply to us. The principles are what matters, and what happened in the Old Covenant world was for us to take the principles found in the history of the Old Covenant world, learn and understand that this is teaching the mind of God. It's the will of God, and it doesn't come from crazy dreams from LSD trips, but from the careful study of the Word of God and how we are to apply these things in our lives today, 2023, just a few days now from 2024. What we are reading, if no one else in the world believes it, doesn't matter. This is what we believe. The Bible teaches, and it has meaning and purpose for us today. The children of Israel did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord their God, and we are not to repeat their sins. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and they feared other gods. Once again, as we've seen so many times, the careful study of the Word of God has revealed to us the understanding of the meaning of the word gods. The Hebrew is Elohim. In Mr. Strong's, listen now, in his legal dictionary, in his legally recognized, not that that matters to us, it doesn't, but to the world it's supposed to, but in his legally recognized Hebrew dictionary, the definition of the word gods, Elohim, as it's found in 2 Kings 17, means gods in the ordinary sense, but specifically used of the supreme God, occasionally applied by way of deference to magistrates, and sometimes as a superlative, angels exceeding God, great judges, mighty. Elohim means rulers, judges, magistrates. Up to this point in time in 2 Kings 17, for those who claim to be followers of the God of the Bible, we have seen over and over and over how the God of the Bible says, I am the lawgiver, obey my laws, obey my statutes, obey my commandments. To fear other gods means to serve other governments, to agree to and obey another set of laws or statutes that are not God's. That's what we believe it means, and there is more than enough biblical support for the argument. And anyone who would teach otherwise is blatantly disregarding simple truths contained in the Word. And what the modern, quote, churchman tries to do is he says this, well, yeah, we can agree that this is what God intended for Old Covenant Israel, but that is not what is meant for today. And as I said a few minutes ago, okay, you can have your opinion. That's between you and God if he doesn't believe the laws of God apply to today. That's a risk that he's going to have to take. But we have every bit as much, quote unquote, right to believe that this does apply to today as he or anyone else has a, quote, right to their belief. We believe this applies today. Whether or not we or anyone else can trace our physical lineage to these people found in 2 Kings 17 is totally immaterial to the position. We are in Christ today. In 2023, we are in Christ. And therefore, if a man is in Christ, then he is Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This story found in 2 Kings 17 is the history of our family by faith, by system of belief. Because we have accepted Christ, we are the rightful lineage of faithful Abraham. And faithful Abraham and those who came after faithful Abraham, who had the same faith, the same system of belief Abraham had. Verse 7 again, and then we'll go straight into verse 8. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods and walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. They walked in the statutes of the heathen. Now, this is not necessarily talking about, quote, heathen, as in the way most U.S. citizens would have it come into their mind when they hear the word heathen. It's not talking about the naked bushmen of Bantu Bash. Don't try to look that up because I just made that word up. The Hebrew word is goy. It simply means people who do not claim the faith of Abraham. Walking in the statutes of the heathen simply means the statutes of people who believe that they have the power to make their own statutes, that they're not God's statutes. It's really, really simple. And today, just like for most of the history of mankind, that is every single, quote, government in the world today, every single, quote, government in the world today makes their own statutes. And when they make their own statutes, which again is simple, 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 that is men taking upon themselves the power to define good and evil, right and wrong. It's that simple. That's what a statute is. And violate or go against one of man's, quote, statutes today, and men call that evil. You are an evildoer in their sight if you violate their statutes. This is so ridiculously simple, Bible 101. That is, if you believe this is what God expects for his creation. Well, we do. This is what we believe. We cannot obey the statutes of the heathen because it is sin. It is evil in the sight of God. Now, we're not talking about freedom to violate God's commandments against harming other people. No one has a right. No one can hide behind a Bible or hide behind a holy book, whether it's the Quran, Buddha, the Talmud, which absolutely, by the way, advocates for harming other people. Okay, we're not saying we can break the laws of God by saying that we can't obey men's statutes. If men's statutes, and they have some, of course they do, they have to in order to get people to follow everything else they do, but they have to have some of their statutes make sense, like no murder, no rape, no stealing, etc. We're not talking about that. We're talking about how we have a command as followers of God, as followers of Christ, to exclusively obey the commandments, laws, statutes of God, and we are specifically commanded not to obey the statutes of the heathen. So, world, exactly what do you want us to do? We're not hurting anyone because we won't take your identification. We aren't hurting anyone because we don't put your pieces of metal on our cars. Those requirements come from your statutes. Those are not the statutes of God. They are your statutes. And any statute that does not come from God is called the statutes of the heathen. And for us to obey them, you are commanding us to sin before our God. And as one of your leaders once said, not going to happen. So because we won't take your, because we won't take your ID, we won't take your pieces of metal, well, should you just kill us? I mean, you already steal our property. You kidnap us and throw us into your stinking jails. Should you just kill us? You don't understand. You're asking us to violate our faith, and we're not going to do it. No matter your threats, no matter what you try to do to us, our choice is obey you or obey God. And that's about as simple a choice as ever could be offered to us. Now, we've tried to learn from the mistakes of those who have gone on before us, and we are determined not to commit the same sins. Verse 9, and the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. Now, I've explained before what these things means as far as the high places in their cities and their towers and images and groves. Go to any county in the U.S., in pretty much every single county in the U.S., go to the, quote, seat of government and look and see which are the most expensive, the most extravagant buildings in the city. It's their, quote, government buildings, hands down. In pretty much every county in the U.S., with the obvious exception of major cities, but for instance, in Mount Vernon, Missouri, Lawrence County, the government building is, and I'm sure I could say this as true, the government building is the most expensive building in the county. It's the high place in the cities of the heathen. And that is what is meant right here in 2 Kings 17. And that's the way it was then, and that's the way it is today. Verse 12, for they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, you shall not do this thing. They served idols. What does that mean? Does it mean tiki dolls in their huts? No, it doesn't. But the word idols in the verse means, it does mean that in that verse, but that's because it's an analogy. Okay, serving idols is defined in verse 13. Verse 13 tells us what serving idols means. Look at it. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Serving idols means obeying statutes that are not God's. The whole theme of this chapter is obey the statutes of God and forsake the statutes of the heathen, those who do not believe that they are to obey the statutes of God. And again, whether there's a 501c3 government-approved preacher in this world that agrees with this or not, it doesn't matter. This is what we believe the Bible teaches. And these principles are as valid today as they were back then. This is what we believe. And we have every bit as much, quote, right to hold these beliefs as anyone else does. Our obedience to the statutes of God and our refusal to obey the statutes of men harms no one. God's law does not let us harm other people. The world has absolutely nothing to fear from us. Nothing. Just leave us alone and let us obey our God. Verse 13, again, yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. We're supposed to learn from the mistakes of those who have gone on before us. That's why this was written. That's why God has preserved his word hundreds of years later. We're supposed to learn from their sins and not repeat them. This isn't hard. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made them molten images, even to calves, and made a grove and worshiped all the host of heaven and served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and used divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Again, analogies. Did they make molten images? Well, maybe, probably. Did they cause their sons and their daughters to be burned alive on the altars of Baal? Did they commit child sacrifice? I doubt it, but maybe, but I doubt it. These are analogies. Regardless of whether some of this is literal or it isn't, we are ultimately told what it all means in verse 18. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight, and there was none left but the tribe of Judah only. And then Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel which they made. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. For he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king, and Jeroboam drave Israel from following the Lord and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants the prophets. So Israel was carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. The king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cutah and from Ava and from Hamath and from Sepharvaim. I'm going to skip down just a minute because I'm running out of time. I want to get to Jeff. Go down to verse 32. So they feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high priests, which sacrificed for them in the house of the high priests. They feared the Lord and served their own gods. We've talked about that before. After the manner of nations whom they carried away from there. Unto this day they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord, neither do they after their statutes or after their ordinances or after the law and commandment which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel. Go down to verse 37. And the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment which he wrote for you, you shall observe to do forevermore, and you shall not fear other gods. And the covenant that I have made with you, you shall not forget, neither shall ye fear other gods. But the Lord your God ye shall fear, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of your enemies, howbeit they did not hearken. And will we ever learn? But they did after their former manner. So these nations feared the Lord and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so to the end of this day. That is just about as clear of a history lesson as there ever was in the Bible. Serve God and be his people. Live by his laws and his statutes, or live according to the nations of the world. This is not a difficult choice for those who believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. Now, with that said, I'm going to bring Jeff on with me this morning. He's going to discuss his latest adventure. Jeff is trying to preserve what the tribe of Judah was supposed to be preserving, at the throne of the kingdom of God. Because of this, he's on their radar. He's a bullseye for these heathen that have nothing better to do than to harass God's people. So I get a call Tuesday from Jeff about 1 o'clock, I think, in the afternoon. And he tells me that there's two sheriff deputies that are that have pulled him over. And well, didn't pull him over. He was already parked, and they come up behind him. And he had his phone on, and I was listening to everything that they were saying. And Jeff, why don't you go ahead and take over for here? And then there are some specific things that I want to ask you about if you don't get into it. But if you don't mind, Jeff, go ahead and bring everybody back up to speed with what happened to you beginning on Tuesday.
Sure. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Sam. And I got to say, after your message this morning, Charlie, that is why I believe that God Send Us Men Ministries is proof that God is looking in on his people. I just appreciate your ministry. Thank you for the teaching and the word this morning. So, yes, I was minding my own business, and turn me down in my ear, Sam, if you can turn me down in the room there. I appreciate that just a little bit. But I was minding my own business when they come up behind me and approached me at my workplace with their lights flashing and all of that. Is there any way you can turn that room sound down, Sam?
There's no way. It's coming from Charlie's end, I think.
Okay. All right.
So anyway, I'll mute mine.
Okay. That may help. Thank you very much. So at any rate, I was approached by these people and asked for identification, of which I promptly told them who I was, Jeff Thomas. And I will say that, you know, each time I interact with them, it is a learning experience. And one thing that I have learned is to call someone. I have had the opportunities to make calls when I get pulled over. I've got an earpiece in my ear, and I do call Charlie. I want somebody to know that, you know, this is happening, and God's people begin to pray. And I appreciate your prayers from all my family and friends and all of your help. And thank you, thank you, thank you. So as I identified myself, there was immediate disbelief because of my name. I mean, who really has the name Jeff Thomas? Oh, no, there's got to be more to it than that. So an investigation began because my word was not taken, even though my identity verified the name that I claim. That helps a lot. Thank you. So the second officer arrived, and it was two against one, more or less, because they knew that I was not telling them the truth. They felt that I was hiding something from them because I stood and claimed my name and gave them no more information. I did try to follow the example of our Lord and remain silent. He was before his accusers, and he spoke not a word. And again, learning experience along the way. So there's a time to speak, and there's a time to remain silent. They put me in the back of their police car. They took me to their station. I sat there and was booked in. There was a second officer who was arrogant and ready to engage. He was bantering accusations of things, you know, sovereign citizen. I'm not a sovereign citizen, man. Et cetera. So they took my ID. He had my ID in the booking room. He was waving around in the air, and he was asking me how I felt about my people at war with Hamas and the Israelis. And, you know, you got to be pro-Israeli because those are your people, right? And I snapped on him and told him that I'm not Israeli. I told him that he didn't know what he was talking about. He continued to mock, looking at the card back and forth, back and forth. He did ask me if I got the card from Jesus. Where did you get this ID card? Did you get it from Jesus? I tried to bite my tongue and didn't snap on him then, but he began to look the card over back and forth, and he was looking at the backside dialing his phone, and I said, hey, what are you doing? And he said, what number is this? Who am I calling? I said, do not call that number. And he hung up his phone, and he said, is it headquarters? And I didn't answer him. I'm sorry, Charlie. help me out here, Charlie. What am I missing for you this morning?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can, but the audio is really messing with my thoughts. I apologize. The audio is really bad, and I'm trying to listen to you. I'm listening to myself talking to my own ear, so it's really problematic for me.
Right.
I apologize that.
Yeah, that's all right.
At any rate, he's looking at the number, and he says, well, it says to call it in case of emergencies. And I told him the emergencies number, the emergency's over. I told him it's none of your business. I did speak to that person whose number is on my ID, and they did say that they received four unknown callers, a hidden ID. He did not let his number be shown. He hid his number, called her phone a few times that day. But, you know, just to show how brave he was. At any rate, at one point he did walk over to me and he said, so let me get this right. He says, so you were this person and then you got born again and now you're this man. And, you know, he said it in different words, but I looked at him and said, that's correct. And I'd been telling them that all along, but none of that was paid attention to. So they just do what they're going to do. But overall, I was a light for the true gospel of the kingdom in the prison cells of Miller and Cole County, Missouri. I can tell you that. Thank you, Father.
All right, there's a couple of things that I want to go over with you for just a minute.
Yeah.
Because if you remember from 2 Kings chapter 17, the scripture talked about they didn't obey God's law. They didn't even obey their own stinking law that they had made for themselves. They were totally lawless. So the first time that you went through this back in July, I forget.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay, when you went through this summer, how long did they keep you in there?
It was up to a week, I believe. No, 8 days,
yeah,
perhaps.
Yeah, it was 8 days. Yeah, it was eight days. Now, okay, and again, and I'm only proving a point because I don't care about their, quote, statutes. I don't care. Okay, they're the statutes of the heathen. But how long did their statutes tell you that they could keep you in there for?
Well, it does depend. They've got different sliding scales, but it goes from 24 to 48 hours, I do believe. I was put on a 48-hour hold. So, yes, I did spend that and some additional hours in their processing process. So,
right. Okay. So their ever-changing laws and statutes – they're ever fluctuating just to do whatever to make it okay for them to do whatever it is that they want to do. The first time they kept you for 8 days, which is a clear violation of their own statutes. But this time Pretty much it was just about 48 hours and they put you out. So anyway, but this thing of, I'm not totally sure that everybody knows what's going on here. Back in May or June, I forget, might have even been earlier, you were, can you still hear me? This thing is showing an X on my
yes,
side.
Yes, doing great. Keep going.
Okay, all right. Okay. You were, there was a, you were pulled over for the Commonwealth of Israel tags on the car.
That's correct.
And given a court date and all that kind of stuff. And why would you not go to the court date? Why would you
don't.
Not go to the court date?
Because I do not participate in speaking for the dead or bringing the dead to life. And they were asking for a dead man to appear, and I'm not that person. So I'm not going to show up and make an appearance to, you know, solidify some sort of agreement or contract and say, yeah, I'm here, the guy to fulfill this end. So that's why I do not appear to them physically in the court. I do appear to them by way of letter, which their so-called statutes allow, that I can handle these matters and speak with men through written correspondence and, you know, settle our disagreements, come, you know, let us reason together, saith the Lord, and figure out, you know, how to get around these conflicts, even though they're supposed to pay attention to that. And it's there's, you know, different things involved, aspects of contracts and their legal terms, et cetera. Even though they're supposed to pay attention to those things, they ignore them, they steamroll them. However, I do believe that there, you know, could be some significant things there that we just should pay attention to, because they think their jurisdiction is every square inch that their eyeball can see. And that is just not the case. It was proven to me the other day. It's proven over and over, day in and day out in this country, when someone's pulled over by the so-called cops, police, whatever, and they walk up to your vehicle and they look inside with their eyeball to see if there's anything else that's out of place. They think they have jurisdiction over every square inch that their eye can see, and that just isn't true. However, Dead Man Dummy had a contract with them, and that contract in their eyes is still valid. However, there is an expiration date on that contract. I can't wait for that expiration date to come, and that may be the easiest way for that contract to cease in effect, to cease in existence. And from that time afterward, hey, that contract, there's nobody going to stand up for that, because it's null and void. Now, if you're under a contract that has several years of expiring in front of it still, you know, there may be a solution that you can take everything back. You can send them a letter and say, I take it all back, and, you know, put some terms and conditions on those things, so that if it is possible to, yes, it is possible to revoke a marriage license, to revoke a contract, to revoke these things, break them, smash them, burn them, destroy them, and get them out of the way so that they are not, you know, a concern. So,
well, you know, Jeff, I can speak to that as well, and I have yeah. Before. You know, when I went through the stuff I was going through, I had filed some documents in their record, whatever you want to call it, and sure. Someone had brought to my attention that I should not have done that. So I filed another document that said, I made a mistake, I take it all back.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think they recognize that or not?
Well, I think it's good to have.
They absolutely did. They absolutely did.
Sure.
They said, okay, we'll take that. And they took
and,
it all
And that
out.
Sets you back to square one, yes.
That is exactly what it did. It started the whole thing over from square one. Mm-hmm. And that's what is so awesome about becoming a follower of Christ. because therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Some people have translated that as a new creation. I don't see really any, that just seems semantics to me, but it's a fresh start. It's a total, complete, fresh start. And that's what we get in Christ.
That's right. At that point, Charlie.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
At that point, for the follower of Christ, in their world, we lack capacity. I couldn't make an agreement with you if I wanted to. I'm not allowed to as a follower of Christ, as a child of Israel, following the Lord's commandments, statute, judgments, and perfect will. I do not have capacity to enter into what they're offering.
Exactly.
God's law does not allow
it. Right. And they want you to acquiesce to a name that was on a U.S. birth certificate. And to me, Jeff, when a follower of Christ decides that he believes that the Lord wants him to change his name, okay, don't anyone just waste your time arguing with me on that, because there are so many examples in the scripture, it's not even funny, of how many followers of God changed the name that they had, that they were given at birth, and they changed it to another name, okay? But they're trying to get you to acquiesce and use the name on a U.S. birth certificate. To me, after changing your name because of spiritual reasons, to go back to that old name, that old man, as you keep saying, the one that is dead, to me, it's the same principle that says it's like a dog returning to its vomit. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. So, Jeff, there was something else that was interesting that I want to talk about for just a minute. On the recording, you were just as nice as can be, as kind as can be, and you told this woman cop that you were going to remain silent. And you kindly said to her several times, "I'm going to remain silent." And then she said, "You're just being belligerent." And then she just flat out lied to you. And she said, "I was just going to give you some citations, but now I'm taking you to jail." She's a liar, because she was going to take you to jail anyway because of the outstanding warrant from Cole County. So
that's right.
For the failure to appear thing. So she's a liar.
Even though
I know that they're liars.
Yeah, right.
Right, exactly. So she keeps saying that you're being belligerent for your saying, "I'm going to remain silent." Then when they arrest you and put you in cuffs, the very first thing the guy says, and I'm telling you, me and Teresa and Violet and Grayson were here, we were all listening. We couldn't help. We busted out laughing because it was so funny. The very first thing the guy says to you is, "You have the right to remain silent." And we just... The stupidity. Oh, I know. He kept going with the rest of his stuff there. And then he tried to say, "Well, you only have the right to remain silent until we demand that you identify yourself." It's like, okay, then you don't have the right to remain silent. If there's conditions on it and they can tell you when you can or when you can't remain silent, then you don't have the, quote, right to remain silent. What a joke. That whole thing. But we were listening. You were not belligerent. You were not unkind. You just said, I'm just going to remain silent. And, of course, you knew it was a trap this time. There's no two ways about it. It was absolutely a trap. And I probably would have done the exact same thing that you did in not casting your pearls before literal swine right there. So,
that's right.
But you know, one of the things that just really, really got me, Jeff, was when you told me that when you were in that booking room and that cop was just mocking you. Well, what did you get born again? And then because you were a new creature, you changed your name. Where did he get that from, Jeff? Did he just come up with that out of thin air? Or did he get it from the church that he goes to every weekend?
I believe exactly right. That's where he got that.
That is exactly where he got that from. Exactly. So, anyway, but I would add for me, Jeff, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to add one more tidbit. During the ride in the back of the police car in handcuffs, I observed the driver, the sheriff deputy, and she's texting with one hand. She's going through her phone one hand. She's hitting the sound strip on the side of the road. She's Googling. She's got her laptop open. She's multitasking. And I'm along for the ride. And I'm thinking, you know, this thing could turn over because there's no shoulder. It's just a ditch. And, you know, I'm getting ready for a rumble. And so we get to the station, and she's getting me out of her car. And she says, is there anything in your pockets that might poke me or prick me or hurt me? And I'm like, what about me? I just had to endure you one-handed, Annie, over there down the road. I said, you're texting and driving and all that stuff. And she said, it's not a crime. And I said, well, it's my safety. I mean, you're so concerned about my safety, and you're one-handed driving down the road. What about my safety? You're concerned about a pocket knife in my pocket? I had nothing, and at any rate, so I was not impressed, because I'm pretty sure that in their world they've put out some new law that says you can't text and drive, you can't have a phone in your hand or whatever. So there again, they're immune to their own words.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be surprised if their, quote, statute says, well, that doesn't apply to cops driving down the road. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what that says.
All right.
Well, Jeff, we're just about out of time, and I really appreciate you coming on to share what happened. I want you to stick around, Jeff, for just a minute, because I got – and you may have already heard it, but I got a another song from Joanne in the Philippines and her son Johannes this week. And I've sent it to Sam, and I've asked him to play this to conclude the message this morning. So I want you to listen to what Joanne from the Philippines sent in this week. And it just blessed me. It was just a wow thing for me. So with that, Sam, I want you to go ahead and play that, and Jeff, we'll talk to you soon.
While the world looks upon me as I struggle alone, they say I'm nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Thank you.
for your blessings on us.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com.